This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The hardest job is for the Imam on a Friday prayer to stand here and to say something that is relevant to the people, to not put you to sleep. That is one of the most difficult things to do for the Imam. To be able to speak so that the young people inshallah can understand, the elders can understand, and the middle-aged who are young can understand as well, inshallah. Sometimes I've spoken, tried to be very comprehensive. One convert brother came to me and he said, I did not feel included. Subhanallah. So the Imam's job is very difficult. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah give me the tawfiq to speak about something that's relevant, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every single individual an ability, a potential to do something with. Most people, majority of people, recognize that ability, that potential, and by this ability, by this qabiliyyah, they earn their living. They make their money, they fulfill the dreams of their life, and they make their world prosperous. Some people, unfortunately, they don't discover their potential. They have a potential, but they don't discover. They go from one place to the next, one place to the next. They feel they are a failure, but they don't sit down and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, give me my calling. Give me my ability. What is my ability? Guide me to the right thing. So, every single one of us has a qabiliyat, an ability. Some of you may be good businessmen. Some of you may be good lawyers. Some of you may be a good accountant. Some people may just be good at speaking. And some people may be good at giving da'wah to others. Some people may be good at one or two things. Every single one of us has an ability. And we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that ability. Some people, mashallah, they can make money, like my father says about one individual we know. He's not very intelligent. But my father says that if he rolls the dice, he always gets a six. Not literally. But mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him money. He makes money wherever, he has ability. Now the question for all of us, myself, everybody included, is that what are we going to do with this ability? This ability we generally use for this dunya, for the next 20, 50, 70 years, however long our life is. What happens after that? Where will this ability take us? Are we planning something for our hereafter with this ability? I'll give you an example. Several years ago, I went to Egypt. I went to the Pharaonic Museum, which is in Cairo. It's this big structure, several floors made by the British about 100 years ago. I'm sure you can relate to the British building things in Sri Lanka as well. So, you'd be amazed at the things that are included and that are on display in this museum. It's totally amazing. I had to pay 40 Egyptian pounds to get entry into the museum at that time. This was in the Mubarak era. Not literally Mubarak, but the era of Mubarak the king, the ruler, the prime minister, whatever, the president, whatever he was. On the second floor, or the third floor, I can't remember, there's a special place where you have to buy another ticket if you want to go inside that chamber. Who's been to the museum in Egypt? Has anybody been? Okay. Here, instead of 40, I had to pay additionally 90 at the time, 90 Egyptian pounds to get access to this room. What was in this room? 9 mummies, human remains. Ajeeb, amazing. Before you say, is it halal to look at mummies or not? I'm not here to give fatwas. This is all about ibrah. Ramses II is there, and also Medemtar. These are the pharaohs of the time. There's 9 mummies there. Ramses II or Medemtar, one of the two was the pharaoh of Musa alayhi salam. I will save you your ticket money. You can look at this online. You don't have to go there. If you Google Ramses II, you should be able to see him. The reason I went in there, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said something in the Quran. Pharaoh, whichever one it was a man of amazing ability. The way he was able to control a whole tribe of people, the Bani Israel, to make the pyramids, to do everything. And in that museum you've got everything. Are you Egyptian, brother? Okay. You've got everything from the chariot, the Bentley, the Rolls Royce of the Pharaoh to his needle. I am not joking. You've got everything in there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً. About Pharaoh, you must have read the story. Allah says to Pharaoh when he was about to drown, today I'm going to give you respite with your body. I'm going to give you, your body will not be harmed, so that you can be a lesson for the people that will come after you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a lesson, he did not only have his body protected, but he had everything with him protected as well. Now, you know how long ago Pharaoh lived? Just to give you an idea of how long ago we're speaking about, who knows how long ago Pharaoh lived? Any ideas? MashaAllah, the Egyptians are making lots of money through the tourism from Pharaoh. Pharaoh left them a legacy. The Egyptians will make money with this, inshaAllah. 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years before Isa alayhi salam. And everything is preserved. Amazing, totally amazing. My point of going in there was for the ibrah, to see the Quranic verse come true. Can you imagine, before 150 years approximately, before the mummies were discovered in Egypt, how the Muslims used to look at this verse and their iman in the verse? The verse said, today I give you protection of your body. Where was the body? Nobody knew at the time. The iman on ghaib was amazing. Is our iman weaker? That's why the Pharaoh has to be now displaced. Allah knows best. The main point here that I want to mention is that Pharaoh had qabiliyyah. He had ability. That's why he was able to do what he did. Question is, the word qabiliyyah in Arabic comes from the root letters of Qa, Ba, and La. There's another word in Arabic which also comes from Qa, Ba, and La, which is Qubuliyyah. Qabiliyyah and Qubuliyyah. Pharaoh had all the Qabiliyyah in the world to make his world prosperous, but he did not have Qubuliyyah. So he becomes notorious for who he was. Allah makes him a lesson for the people after. He did not have Qubuliyyah, he was not Maqbool. We have this idea of Maqbooliyyah, Qubuliyyah. The question we need to ask to ourselves is, we have lots of Qabiliyyah, do we have Qubuliyyah? Give you another example. 1400 years ago, it's the beginning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's da'wah. He makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Makkah Mukarramah. Oh Allah, strengthen this faith with one of the two Amrs. Amr ibn Hisham, Umar ibn al-Khattab. These were both non-Muslim leaders, both known for their boldness, get up and go attitude, take matters in their hand and do something about it. This was the kind of attitude of both of these individuals. You know the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab, he got up with his sword that morning to go and kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua had been made for one of these two. Amr ibn Hisham. Amr ibn Hisham, do you know who he is? He was called at that time Abu al-Hakam, the father of judicial understanding, intelligent individual. Unfortunately today nobody knows him by that name. Even the orientalists in the universities, when they discuss Amr ibn Hisham, they call him Abu Jahl. He goes down in history as Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. From such a great title to the father of ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given both of them qabiliyyah, both of them ability, but only one was given qubuliyyah, and that was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen. That's what you call qubuliyyah. The qabiliyyah that Allah has given every single one of us has to become qubuliyyah. And it's not difficult. We have to ask Allah for it. We have to have it in our minds. It is something in the heart that has to be there to say that. What better investment than for us today to take the name of great scholars of the past, great individuals of the past, and say, Rahimahullah, Rahmatullahi alayh. May Allah have mercy on him. What bigger investment is there than that? For us to be remembered, for them to be remembered. Aisha radiallahu anha, Fatima radiallahu anha. For us to remember these individuals. Several years ago, when I was imam in the US, in America, in Santa Barbara, it's hot there. Not as hot as this, but it's hot there. I would go into a local store, a local shop. Our masjid covered 40 miles of the coast. 100 people used to come for Jumu'ah. So I knew everybody. 100 people is easy to keep tabs on people, to know your congregation. I knew when somebody was missing, and I knew if somebody was new. I went into the local shop that I would shop in, and this brother came. Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Assalamu alaikum, brother, how are you? I don't know this brother. Clearly he works here, he doesn't come for the salat. I did not say to him, brother, where are you in the masjid? Why don't I see you in the masjid? The first time you meet somebody, if you say to them, where are you? Why don't you come to the masjid? They won't come back again. They won't meet you again. Our youth, sometimes they get a bit lost. They stay away from the masjid for a while. When they come back, everybody jumps on them. Where have you been? Now you've come back. Now you've understood. Don't ever say that. Let the masjid be a private place for people to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's not... If they come back, alhamdulillah, make dua for them. So, I kept meeting him. I never saw him in the masjid. I never saw him in the masjid. But every time I would go to the store, sometimes I would meet him and he would meet me. One day, I came, I did my Jumu'ah. I did the khutbah. I did Jumu'ah, I came outside. Now, outside, today, or any day, if somebody is there giving out bottles of cool water. I came out that day and somebody is offering everybody water. I said, what happened? It wasn't a tradition to do this. Who do I see? I see this same brother Ahmed. He's a Turkish brother. Same brother. He'd come for the first time for Jumu'ah and he had taken 2 crates of bottled water, taken them home, chilled them, cooled them, and he brought them and he was lovingly handing them out. One is that you tell me to make dua for you, I tell you to make dua for me, and you say, oh Allah, bless him, give him barakah. One is that dua. The other dua is nobody says anything and the dua comes from the heart. Cool water is such a ni'mah of Allah. You're going to give dua to the person, may Allah bless this man. I am giving him dua in Sri Lanka. He doesn't even know that. But that amal of his may have been so accepted. Small amal, small work. But he must be so accepted that I am being forced to make dua for him today. Inshallah, you are saying Ameen. You know, this is the kind of thing. You know, the worst part of this was I thought to myself, I am the Imam. I am telling people about good akhlaq. I am telling people about feeding people. I am telling about, you know, concern for people. But he gets this idea, a simple idea, and I didn't get this idea. The other wealthy people did not get the idea. I said to Brother Ahmed, I went to him, I said, Brother, mashallah, you're here. He said, yes. Now I am working at a petrol station as well. I'm doing 2 jobs. In the daytime, I work at the petrol station. My partner who works with me is a Muslim as well. We have decided, subhanAllah, we have decided that 1 week he will go for Jumu'ah, 1 week I will go for Jumu'ah. Now, he should pray Jumu'ah every week, but You can see where his journey is coming from. May Allah give him greater tawfiq. Later, alhamdulillah, I saw him much more often. But the thought in the mind. There was another individual, a young man of 21. He would be there for every salah. We used to have 5-7 people for salahs. Everybody was working, right? This was not a big town at all. Small town, beach town. 5-7 people for salah. But this young man, 21 years old, was always in salah. He lived 10 miles from the masjid. Motorway, 15 minutes, he would be in the masjid. Sometimes he would not be there. I didn't know why. Later I found out the reason why he did not come for some salah is because he had no petrol money. He would earn his living by looking after children, babysitting children. Before Ramadan, like around this time, the masjid committee gets together and decides we need to buy this many boxes of khajur and dates for Ramadan, for iftar. We were still deciding that. We hadn't had our meeting. One day I came into the masjid and I see 3 boxes of California medjool dates ready on the fridge. Said, who brought these? Somebody said, maybe it was Brother Umar who brought it. I think it was Brother Umar. When Umar came the next time, this young man, 21, I said, Umar, did you bring those dates? He said, don't worry about it, don't worry. He didn't want to tell me. I said, Umar, did you bring the dates? He says, look, I knew he brought it, now I knew. I said, Umar, let me give you the money. He said, Shaykh, don't steal this from me. Don't steal this from me. I am feeling that I'm the Imam, I'm waiting for a committee meeting. How much do these dates cost? Maybe $40, $50. You know, it's not much. He had in his mind, he heard the hadith that whoever feeds a fasting person, he gets the reward of the fast of that fasting person. I said, Umar, you've got your reward. Let me give you your money. He said, no. He said, no. Allah rewards him. Allah rewards him. These are small acts that we do when you've got that desire in the heart to do something. This is what this whole talk is for. I'm going to finish in a few minutes. This is what the talk today is about. What are we going to do for ourselves with the ability that Allah has given us? If you're a lawyer, do a few cases a year for free. If you're a painter, do a bit of painting for somebody for free. If you're a businessman, help a few people here and there. Whatever Allah has given us, do something with it. If you don't know what to do with it, if you don't know how to be accepted by Allah, ask Allah. Allah is willing to tell us. Allah is willing to use us. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يَسْتَعْمَلَهُ. Anybody Allah intends good with, He will use them for His service. He will employ them in His service. He will make them do some khidmah of the deen. There's another version of the hadith. For those who understand Arabic, they'll understand. He said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا عَسَى لَهُ. Anybody Allah intends good with, عَسَى لَهُ. عَسَى comes from honey. My translation of it is, whoever Allah intends good with, He will sweeten the deal for them. The Sahaba asked, مَا عَسَى لَهُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What does that mean, Ya Rasulullah? What do you mean? The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will give them tawfiq, divine enablement, to do something before they die by which their surrounding people will be happy with them. That they will remember them, fondly, nicely make dua for them. This is what we want. This is what we want. Enjoy the dunya, but inshallah enjoy the hereafter. We're not telling ourselves to give up the dunya. The dunya is here. The dunya is fine as long as the heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the question we need to ask ourselves. How are we going to be accepted before our death? And for Allah, nothing is impossible. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرًا مُقْتَدِرًا. Allah reminds us over and over again that Allah has ability to do all things. And if you think that you're too old, or you're too simple, or you're too far gone, believe me, you are underestimating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrah. Allah has the ability to change the worst person to the greatest person, to the laziest person, to the most vigorous and active person. Sit down, do we have a few moments with Allah? Tahajjud time, ishraq time, awwabin time, whatever time. Just 5 minutes. where you can just ask Allah, talk to Him. Oh Allah, accept me for the service of your deen. Oh Allah, accept me for the service of your deen. And regardless of who you are, Allah will accept you. Don't think that it's only ulama who will be accepted. Don't think it's only ulama who will be accepted. Ulama have more potential because they know more of the deen and how to be. But the door of wilaya, the door of friendship with Allah is open to everybody. And don't let anybody steal that from you. It's yours. It's every single one of ours. It's open. We have to make the action. Nothing is beyond Allah. Is it impossible for Allah to make us those who make tahajjud every day? Is it impossible for Allah to make us mustajab al-da'wah, one whose every dua is accepted? Is it impossible, whether we're 50 or 70 years old, that Allah make us hafiz of the Quran? Is that an impossibility? Only in our minds. We can ask Allah, and we can get somewhere with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and accept every single one of us, the young and the old, to do something, to be accepted for the service of His deen, so that inshallah we can leave a good memory behind, and in Jannah we can reap the benefits with the gladness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.